of a Kind, Episode 1. Doctor, I'm so glad that you invited me along to this party. Oh, some of the most important people in the country are here tonight.
All right, Joe, all right. You don't have to keep thanking me. Let's find some champagne.
Oh, Doctor! Miss Grant, I am sure you'll have some exciting stories to tell us. All the gossip is that the two of you know something about that horrible daffodil recall that occurred. Honestly, soldiers and policemen coming in and removing those plastic daffodils.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Humphreys. I have no idea what you are talking about.
Oh, Mrs. Humphreys, what a lovely jade pendant you're wearing.
Why, thank you, my dear. It was a present from my husband. He's not a great one for gift-giving, but he's outdone himself this time.
It's positively stunning.
I should like to know just where your husband procured such a pendant, Mrs. Humphreys.
Oh, it is one of a kind, Doctor, I assure you.
Yes, but it seems to have some remarkable properties. Almost emanates a certain radiance.
Mrs. Humphreys, why don't you introduce me to these guests?
Certainly, Mr. Castaneda.
Oh,
Miss Grant, Doctor, this is Mr. Castaneda. He is traveling abroad. Mr. Castaneda, this is Miss Josephine Grant, and this is the Doctor.
Ah, what a lovely and delicate creature you are, Miss Grant. Doctor, you have chosen an exquisite young female for the evening. Thank you. Yes, very nice indeed. A feast for hungry eyes, my dear.
So, you are traveling abroad, Mr. Castaneda. I imagine you have come a long way.
A very long way, Doctor. And I have acquired many treasures in my journeys.
Have a taste for treasure, do you?
Oh, yes. Anything that is rare. Anything exotic. Anything that others consider a delicacy.
Are you an importer, Mr. Castaneda?
No. I am a professional gambler, Mrs. Humphreys. Perhaps, Doctor, you would welcome a game of cards sometime this evening.
I'm afraid that gambling holds little interest for me, Mr. Castaneda. Not unless I'm playing for something I really want.
I understand that your own favorite transport is in need of repair, Doctor. As one traveler to another, I assure you that I may have just what you need. I shall be in the card room if you change your mind.
But look here, we have friends who have a cousin who helps operate the radio telescope. He told them that
Oh, really, Mrs. Humphreys, you mustn't believe a lot of gossip. What would a malfunction at a radio telescope have to do with those ridiculous plastic daffodils?
So, you're that doctor fellow. I'm Major Richard Braithwaite. Heard about you. You and that daffodil panic. What was that all about? Dashed nuisance, if you ask me. And who is this engaging young lady?
Major Braithwaite, allow me to introduce Miss Josephine Grant.
How do you do, sir?
Gad, you're a unit soldier.
A unit operative, sir.
In my day, we never saw such pretty faces in the line of danger. No, it was all slog, slog, slog for us. The big one, you know.
Yes, Al, very amazing. I think I see a tray of champagne going by. I'll just bring you some, Joe.
I served abroad in Africa. Now, there was danger aplenty, I tell you.
I won't keep you from your stories, Major. The Major knows ever so many truly amazing stories of the war, Miss Grant. You are in for a treat.
Have you seen where the doctor went?
Oh, I believe that Mr. Castaneda has roped him in for a game of cards.
I'll look after you, my dear. Now then, champagne first, and then I'll tell you how we used to check for scorpions in our boots. Dreadful things, scorpions. Sting you once and your foot would swell up like a rotten plum ready to burst. All purple and shiny. You there, just toddle over here with those glasses.
Very good, sir.
There you are, my dear.
Thank you, Major. Really, perhaps I ought to go find the doctor.
What ho, nonsense! I've seen that, Castaneda. They'll be shut up in the card room for the rest of the evening. Just come with me, and I'll take you to the sideboard for some plates. Did I tell you about trying to find Rommel out in that vast, torrid desert heat?
I'm so glad to see you.
And then, by thunder, Montgomery had his man. It was a near thing, and a battle overlooked by historians, mind you. All the attention goes to the Low Countries, but Africa was an amazing theater of war.
Oh, Major, your wife is looking for you.
What's that? Well, better go like a good soldier. Good evening, Miss Grant.
Oh dear, it is rather hard to stop the Major once he gets started. I am sorry, Miss Grant. I hope it didn't spoil your evening to listen to war stories.
It looks like everyone's leaving. Have you seen the doctor?
Hasn't he come out yet from his card game? Why, they've been in there for hours. That wasn't quite fair to you.
Well, I was quite thrilled to come with him, but now I think he just wanted somebody to keep him company on the long drive here into the countryside.
Dear me, I suppose it is up to us to get the men out of there, isn't it? Everybody else has gone.
I'll see if I can't pry the doctor loose. What are they doing? Are they playing cards or talking science?
Cards, I think. I don't believe that Mr. Castaneda has any interest in science. The card room is this way, my dear, down the east hallway.
Your house is very grand, Mrs. Humphreys.
Through this door. Oh, dear, I am a bit nervous about interrupting them. That Mr. Castaneda is such an intense fellow, and your doctor friend absolutely towers over a person.
But it's your house, Mrs. Humphreys, and it is quite late.
Yes, of course.
I'll back you up. I'll plead a headache if you like.
Well, perhaps that will work. They told me earlier that they did not wish to be disturbed. However, it is time. Well, gentlemen, have you enjoyed your game of cards?
Oh, Doctor, you've been gambling.
Ah, Mrs. Humphreys, we are just on our last hand. Going for broke, I believe the saying is.
Well, it is quite late, gentlemen, and Miss Grant here has been complaining of a headache, Doctor.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
You are to go up to bed now. And you, sit here. Be still. Miss Grant must go as well.
Mrs. Humphreys?
Joe, have somebody drive you home.
Everybody is gone. She shall stay.
She wasn't.
Play the hand. You agreed to my conditions. Play.
Oh, Doctor, what have you bet him?
Be quiet. Let him play.
No. No, I'll hold with what I have.
Very well. Let's see what you've got.
Straight.
You didn't gamble away that old police box you like so well, did you?
You very nearly had me frightened, Doctor. Four deuces.
Only my possessions. That was our arrangement. My most prized possession.
Oh, Doctor, you've gone and gambled away that police box and all the equipment inside. I am sorry.
Too late to change the agreement now, Doctor.
I'll find your cape for you.
Stay where you are.
Let me go. You're hurting me.
Miss Grant had nothing to do with our agreement with each other.
Now is not the time to define your terms, Doctor.
My wrist.
She is what you prize most.
No, stop it.
What you would pay for dearly, not the other. Your TARDIS isn't even working anymore.
I say, let me go. You are hurting me.
Don't take her.
What happened?
Oh, no, you don't. You're not going anywhere. Let's have no nonsense.
What have you done? Where's the doctor? And the carpet? The table? Hey, what do you think you're doing? Stop walking into me. What is this? How did it turn into a big empty room? Oh!
Yes, right there against that pole. Sorry for the overbearing familiarity, but it's just to stop you running and dodging.
What are you doing? What are all the poles in this room for?
They're for this. I'm not hurting you. Give me your other hand. This room is my stable, if you like, my depot of goods. And quite often my goods are living creatures that need to be chained or tethered, so the steel poles are useful, bolted in at floor and ceiling. You can move, but you cannot move far. You certainly cannot escape.
What have you done to the doctor and to the Humphreys and their house?
He does prize you, you know.
What?
Your problem is that you don't really understand him. You keep waiting for him to start acting like a human being, but he doesn't know how to do that yet. He's in exile. He's angry, and he feels trapped.
Where is he?
He's fine. He's at the Humphreys. Well, he's not exactly fine. He's blaming himself for what's happened.
He bet me in a card game?
Well, you might say he was, hustled. You are right when you notice that there are times that he forgets you exist. He does. He's focused almost exclusively on getting his TARDIS operational again. So when I set the stake on whatever he most prized, he assumed I meant his TARDIS. He agreed to the stake.
He loves that pokey old police box. Why would he bet his TARDIS?
Because I was betting this. A universal adapter. Very hard to get hold of when a man is confined as he is. I understand that he has in possession a dematerialization circuit that he hooked from another Time Lord.
Yes, he sneaked into the TARDIS of the Master and stole it. But it doesn't fit. He said that the models are different.
This would make it fit. Your doctor friend was willing to take a huge risk to gamble for it. But he lost. We'll put it away for the moment. Time to appraise my own prize. You're a pretty little thing, as humans go. No, don't look away. What is your blood type, my dear? Let's check the glands at the throat. Eyes are clear, glands healthy. Exceptionally soft hair, very nice indeed. All in a healthy human female. Ever had any serious diseases? You'll find it wise to answer me when I speak to you. Otherwise, I'll resort to coercion. You don't want that.
No really serious illnesses. Just mumps, measles, those things. When I was young.
Now, no need for sheer terror. I get my pleasure from winning at cards, Miss Grant. I shall kill you if I have to, or I shall turn you over to creatures who get their pleasure from using humans one way or another. But it's only in the way of business. All done. The chain is long enough to give you some use of your hands, and you can settle down on the floor when you are tired of standing. I intend to feed you and give you water until the doctor is ready.
Ready for what?
Ready to gamble again.
Corporal Bell, the doctor and I are in conference. We are not to be disturbed.
Very good, sir.
Sit down, Doctor. This is unbelievable. We wallop the entire Auton invasion force and take a crooked gang of circus ruffians in tow just for good measure, thwart the plans of this evil Time Lord enemy of yours, this Master fellow, and now one card player takes us all hostage?
Lethbridge Stewart, you cannot possibly believe that I would knowingly endanger any human being, and certainly not that child.
All right. You said he's contacted you once already. He wants the jade necklace and ornament. Any idea why? I mean, if it's dangerous, I can't just hand it over to him.
I knew it wasn't an ordinary necklace the moment I saw it. It gives off emanations. Mr. Humphreys is a building designer, an architect. He said he found the pieces at an excavation in the city. He had the parts made into a necklace.
Emanations, you say? A live device of some sort?
Could be both an ornament and a functional device. It's certainly of extraterrestrial origin, but she's had it for weeks and seems to suffer no ill effects from it.
Well, why not just steal it? Why did Castaneda take the trouble to lure you out there, gamble all his stock for Miss Grant, just to take a chance that you would get this necklace thing for him?
Castaneda is not human. He's a Rule.
A Rule?
That's what they call themselves. They're not thieves or warriors or priests or farmers or anything else. They travel around the galaxies in colonies. The honest ones are very good at tinkering with things. Very analytical thinking skills. Locksmiths, machine technicians, professional magicians.
And the dishonest ones?
Gamblers, and very good at it too. But he could no more steal that thing than you could fly. His method is gambling.
We can confiscate the necklace. I assume he'll take it in trade for Miss Grant.
I'm not optimistic. He's got the whip hand and he knows it.
But surely he'll just trade for the girl.
He'll want to gamble again. He loves gambling. It's what makes him feel powerful. Look, warlike creatures take over planets. Gambling creatures play for high stakes. Taking enormous risks and forcing others to take risks are what they thrive on. The bad ones, I mean.
What a cold customer he must be.
I need a card player with nerves of steel who won't be much swayed by the danger to Joe. Somebody who loves cards. That person will have to play as well.
It's not like you to lose your nerve.
I intend to play, but coming back to the game after losing puts me at a tremendous disadvantage. I'll be fighting on his turf, so to speak. One moment of indecision from me and Joe Grant will be lost to the cruelest of fates. He'll sell her or gamble her out there, out where we can't track her. There are races in the universe who find human fear and human flesh a delicacy, Brigadier.
So you want an ally, eh?
Obviously a human being will have a price we can pay if he wins back Joe.
and I like the odds of two of us working against Castaneda.
Are you sure this rule, or whatever he is, will agree to another player?
Well, Castaneda loves to gamble. He would prefer a game with several people because he'll want to win everybody's stake. And if we go in with two of us determined to win back Joe, we have a much greater chance of succeeding.
I see. Corporal Bell, get Sergeant Benton up here, will you? Benton has talked once or twice about a poker-playing uncle he has in the used car business. A gambling man if there ever was one. Been banned from the card tables in Las Vegas because he keeps walking away with their profits.
That's precisely what we want. We'll have to swear him in. I'm sure the next game will take place aboard Castaneda's ship.
You mean spaceship?
That's exactly what I mean. He'll play in an environment where he has control. Part of his psyche is built on showing off. He can use Joe to display his triumph at cards over a Time Lord.
All right, then. The uncle is a tough old Yorkshire man, not easily impressed.
Can you not boost your transmission power?
How is that?
The visual display still cannot pick you up, but I can hear you. Your TARDIS must be in very bad shape if you cannot even communicate with a ship in orbit above your planet.
My TARDIS is not a warship or merchant ship, Castaneda. I travel in it. I don't need extensive communication equipment, and we don't need visual display to make arrangements.
Very well. Let us keep the arrangements brief.
I want to hear her voice. I want to know that Miss Grant is safe.
Of course she is safe. Do you think I would harm my own goods? I shall ensure that she is healthy and bright-eyed for the game, or else nobody will play for her. You, speak to him, loudly. He cannot see you over the view screen.
Doctor!
Joe, don't be afraid. I'm coming to bring you back.
I shall transport you directly aboard my ship to play again for Miss Grant. Bring the jade necklace.
Please, won't you just trade me for the necklace?
Be quiet now. We shall gamble.
When will we play again?
Within one or two of your Earth days, I plan to invite any nearby gamblers, and I will give them time to reach me.
Well, if you want more players, I have a poker player here on Earth who is very good.
What? Gamble against both you and an ally of yours? No.
He is not an ally.
I refuse, Doctor. Only one representative from any ship or from Earth shall play at my table. I am too familiar with games and tricks. I will allow no alliances at my game. It is every creature for itself.
Look, your stakes are too high. The girl's life has value.
Great value indeed. The level of terror that can be evoked from her would whet the appetite of several different species.
It's not fair to her. You beat me once at cards. I'm coming in at a disadvantage.
I am not interested in being fair to my gambling stakes. If she is hunted down and then devoured by, say, an Ivorite or a Croesan, finds a happier end nestling safely in your arms, it is nothing to me.
Will you let me have a substitute then? A champion to play in my place?
Yes, that is often done in these matters of high stakes. But he must include the jade necklace in his stake, and 500 grams of dried sage, and 800 grams of sodium chloride granulated.
Do you think I'm going to send up sage and salt, as if I don't know what they're for?
You will meet the requirements of the stake, Doctor. You shall have no chance of winning her back at all. Not you, and not your champion.
Very well, then. You'll have them in the stake. I'll let you know if I select a substitute.
I shall contact you when I am ready. Have everything in hand, for I will allow no delays.
Everything will be ready.
Goodbye. Well, Miss Grant, he is agitated on your behalf. But I must go and compose a brief informative message to advertise the game. I will bring you more water when I return. Are you comfortable?
I'm tired of sitting with my back against this wretched pole. Why do you want sage and salt? You're not human.
No, my pretty peacock, but you are. A human is no good without sage and salt for seasoning. That's the opinion of some of my more voracious contacts. I'll be back.
Waiting for Benton's uncle? What's his name?
Duke. Yes, I'd like to keep him away from as much as possible without offending him. so I thought I would meet him myself and escort him. He's due any minute. Did you make contact with Castaneda?
Yes, and it was very unpleasant. Joe is safe, but he's trying to pull a larger game together with her as the main attraction in the state. And he won't let more than one person from Earth play. He suspects an alliance against him.
You couldn't persuade him otherwise.
No, but I made him think my transmission capabilities weren't very good. I may be able to jam his calling frequencies. I've set up a jamming transmitter on the roof of the main building. Maybe we can limit his outside contacts.
Looks like somebody's driving up from the main gate.
Maybe that's Benton's uncle coming now.
Did you ever see a car like that in your life?
Not colored orange. I think it's a Mercedes.
Brilliant orange, by Jove!
Now then, gentlemen, are you Sergeant Benton's uncle?
Oh, I just call me Duke. How do you like the car?
Oh, well, nice.
Gets the attention. Tells people I know a good car when I sees one. It's not the color, but the frame, mind you.
Oh, yes. Well, if you'd like to park and come with us, Duke, we'll fill you in.
Be right with you.
Sit down, gentlemen.
Say, don't Brigadier Generals get better offices than this?
Cigar, Duke?
Why, thank you. I'll just put that away for a bit later. Pull up that table, son.
All right.
And now for a demonstration. Pull up your chairs, the both of you. Right you are. 5-card draw for the green young man. Ante up. Right then, I'll deal. Aha, this old man is a bit of a rum one, isn't he, Mr. Doctor? Is that what you're thinking? Good enough of a bloke against them what plays in the local pub. But what about the high-stakes game? Can the old Duke play against a pro?
Look, I've not yet formed...
I know. Look, Hugh, you'll toss your cards, I'd say, eh? Put down 3 or 4, won't you? It's probably a mistake, but you gotta play, you see? You gotta make a decision. I'm rattling your chain already.
All right, then.
And you, not much better poker face. Your eyes are saying it. You'll follow his lead. Say, old-timer, I'm surprised that other fella didn't take your virginity along with
now
everything
see here.
Else. What do you want, Doctor? Throw down that fancy watch if you mean to bet.
I will, then.
I'll fold.
Look then, Doctor, you're doing the calculation in your head. I can see it plain as the nose on your face, and that's a generous nose. But you gotta come into the game knowing your limits. And when in doubt in 5-card draw, you should fold. Fold and keep folding until you have the minimum hand. When the card odds are longer than the pot odds, you should fold. What do you want?
3.
And I'll take one. Let's see them. Pair of 10s. 3 3s. Now, that's a tidy pile for a few minutes' work, but here you are. I'm working with you, not against you. Take your watch.
Thank you.
Now for that cigar. It don't take long to learn all the possible hands and all the possible odds if you studies it hard enough. None of that should be on your mind going into the game. Poker's a game of war. You know your enemy. The decisions you make are what the other fella's gonna do. What'd you lose to this fella you want me to play, anyway?
A young woman.
Say, you play for high stakes.
It was a flim-flam job. The girl was taken against her will.
Why play his game, then? You're army brass. Hunt him to Earth and take her back.
We don't know where he is. We don't want her harmed.
He's technologically superior to us.
I heard about you unit people and what you deal with. Folks say they're outer spacemen and crazy things like that. Is that so? You run them off from time to time?
Well, yes, in a manner of speaking, that's so.
Well, don't pester me with that just now. So this card player, he's a spaceman, is he?
He will appear as human as you or I, Duke, but you will see things you've never seen before if you play him.
If I play him? If he's coming back to play, I'll play him all right. He wants something.
A jade necklace.
So, rather than trade, he'll try to win both. Right, gamester. Why is the necklace so valuable to him?
We don't know. We can get the necklace from the owner, but we haven't gotten it yet. Apparently, Mr. Humphreys is resisting. He's hidden the necklace.
Then that's our first task. We've got to get the Humphreys to turn over that jade necklace to us.
Why not let me come along? You boys ought to see if I'm any good or not.
Yes, just let me check the jamming apparatus that I set up, and I'll be right with you.
Well, how nice. Somebody is making contact. I believe we have another player, Miss Grant. There's nothing on the screen. I'll adjust the controls. My view screen is on. I can hear you, but I cannot pick you up on visual display.
I am picking you up, Rule. I see you plainly. Refresh your display screen.
It isn't working. Some interference from the planet below may be affecting my controls.
You had better not be trifling with me.
I assure you, I am not playing a game.
You advertised a rare stake for gambling. I wish to see it.
Give me a moment. Get up. Come here. No need to push. Can you see her?
Yes. She is lovely.
And very sensitive with emotion. Shall I make her cry for you?
How old is she? The visual reception is not clear enough. I do not want an old crone made up to look youthful.
Oh no, she is very young. A young adult female.
Do not exhaust her prematurely. I shall enjoy her tears soon enough and listen to her pleading with me for her life. But she is small, not strong.
Part of her human beauty, Croesan. You don't want one that's too sturdy.
I don't want one that dies too soon either. The feast is all very well, and I'm sure she can be well prepared. But the preliminaries essential. Feed her well. See that she is well rested. When is the game?
As soon as I finalize arrangements with the others.
Who else is in the game?
At least one more player from Earth.
Make it soon. I am impatient and hungry. Transmit a signal and I will come.
He's switched off. Well done, Miss Grant. The Croethans are as wealthy as they are savage. He will bring a large stake.
What does he mean about my tears?
Croethans lack the ability to generate emotion. They hunger for the emotional responsiveness of other species. Terror and tears are what they like best. They will extract all your terror and all your tears before they let their appetite for roasted flesh take over.
A creature that savage couldn't be intelligent enough to win at cards, not against good players.
The Croethans come to the gaming table with no visible emotions and great skill. They are excellent card players. You ought to prepare yourself for the worst, Miss Grant. I have already defeated the Doctor once. I do not think he will be able to win you back.